Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, May 18th, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Ma-Vine Geddes. What was that?
That was me throwing hands because it's fighting game season, everybody.
That was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
I had to debate, do I throw my left hand with my right hand or do I throw my right hand with my left hand? And either way, it wouldn't have been good, but that was probably the worst version.
I thought you were going for a swing because I was like, oh yeah, after this, they're doing the stream
where
they're
a swing and a miss,
playing golf. But I was like, that was more of a baseball swing. And then when you finished it, yeah, your hand kind of flailed there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't know what this is anymore.
You can't throw your arm too far. You know what I mean? Through your hand too far. Whatever. Man. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Tim, how are you doing this morning? How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing okay. As you guys know, a couple weeks ago, I got pulled over by the popo.
Yeah.
For the first time in a decade plus. Mm. All right. Wasn't happy about it. Some dumb bullshit. Don't need to get into it. I need to fix it.
I was going 40 miles over the MPH.
Today, cop pulls up behind me on a motorcycle. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, here we fucking go. And the thing is, I knew that because I'm still waiting for the sticker, I could be in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But the guy gave me a little note that I could, he's like, if you get pulled over again, just show him the note and then you're going to be totally fine. So I was like, ugh, this is just inconvenient. I got places to go, people to see.
Your registration was expired or your like car thing was expired.
It was there. It doesn't matter. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My shit got lost in the mail. My sticker. I paid for it. I just didn't get the sticker.
That's fair enough.
That was my problem. So
out here riding dirty. I get it.
100%. 100%. So this guy pulls up behind me, turns on the little siren things. But not the noise, just the lights. All right. So I was like, fuck, here we go. So I pull over and he pulls up onto the road because he's on a motorcycle. And I'm just like sitting there waiting and he doesn't come up to me.
Mm. What?
And I'm pulled over, like the blinker's on. I'm just like, and I'm trying to look back at him and he's just chilling. He didn't pull me over at all.
This is the equivalent of like somebody waving hi to you and then you wave back and you realize they're waving to the guy behind you.
Yeah. But there's a protocol here. You go behind somebody and I was the only person there and you turn those things on. I'm pulling over.
That's on him. No, that's not on you.
I was sitting there for like, I don't know, 30 seconds. And like, there was a weird moment where I was like, do I just go? Mm. But I'm like, even though I'm pretty sure I could just go, I'm not going to just go.
Tim, do you do the thing where when you see a cop in your vicinity, you start driving extra safe?
Oh yeah.
I start hitting the full stops at the stop signs when I would never do that on my own. Like I start making sure I'm going at the speed limit.
100%.
I drive like that happened to me yesterday where I saw a cop behind me. I started driving like a saint. I had the 10 and 2. My hands were on the 10 and 2. Again, I was hitting the full stops. I was being a good citizen out there.
I don't mean to call you out, but you're a pretty safe driver even without
Thank you. I appreciate
watchful
it.
Watchful eyes around you, you know.
Yeah, that's cuz you've been driving with Kevin Coelho, who is in the top 5 most chaotic drivers I've ever driven with.
That's true.
Chaotic's a good word. It's a good word.
Yeah.
But the story ends with me sitting there long enough to have the moment of like, do I drive away or do I get out of my car?
You start driving away, turns into a car chase. Now you're fucking arrested for resisting arrest.
It ends with him getting out of his car, angrily walking over, looking at me, telling me to roll down the window. I roll it down, and he just goes, hey, you can go. I'm not waiting for you. And I was just like, okay, thank you, and just left. It was
That's really funny.
So angry?
That's
like,
really funny.
I did what I thought I was supposed to do.
That's on him. That's
fucking
on him.
On him.
He just wanted
to
exert his power. You know, it's fucking police, ACAB.
Oh, man.
My day's been going decently, Tim.
Yeah. Tell me
there's
all
new Mortal Kombat trailer out there. I'm excited to watch that here with you today. Yesterday, I went online. I scheduled an appointment for a haircut that I was very excited about because I'm going to LA this week. I'm doing a shoot, and so I'm like, I want to look good for that shoot, and also Summer Game Fest. A bunch of things are happening. Mm-hmm. Let me look good. Let me spruce up my looks. I go online. I schedule the haircut. I then get a call from my barber yesterday morning, and he's like, "Hey man, I just burnt my hand," and I'm like, Oh man, that sucks.
Oh no, he needs those.
Yeah, I'm like, what does that mean for me? And he's like, yeah, we got to reschedule a haircut. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But hey, like, is there a way we can get it done before Thursday evening? Because I got to fly out Thursday evening, and I'm hoping to get it done before then. He's like, oh, you know what? In that case, I'm going to just link you with my guy, Rob. Like, come through. Rob is he cuts hair next to me. Just show up to Rob, and he'll get it done for you. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I'm a bit apprehensive because my barber knows me.
Yeah.
Me and my barber, mm-hmm. we're like this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he understands my needs. I understand his needs, I guess. His needs money. I pay him. but so I get there yesterday evening after work, and Rob is the oldest man I've ever seen in my life.
Hell yeah.
The oldest man. And I can tell that the barbershop is organized in a pretty good way, where they got people serving different demographics. Rob is definitely the person that is cutting the older people's hair that is walking to the barber. Okay. He was the only one that was available that day for me to be able to come through and get my hair cut. And I'm like, all right, like, I'm already here. I guess I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have Rob cut my hair. Like, if my barber trusts you, Rob, I trust you. And so I sit down in that seat. I tell him what I want. I even show him a picture. I show him a picture of King's Disease 2 by Nas. I'm like, give me this. This is what I want.
This.
Yeah, give me this album cover. That's what I want to look like. And when I tell you, this man cut my hair way shorter than I wanted.
Yeah.
And I was such in a bad mood after my haircut last
year. Yeah, I was telling you, yesterday I was telling you, you look best at your first and at the end of your haircut.
Yeah.
I think this one's going to grow into where you want to be.
Yeah.
And when you get that middle part good, you're maximizing your good hair days.
I hope so, man. I'm making the best of it.
Oh, man.
And honestly, like, I'm probably making a too big of a deal of it.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you look good.
I think it looks good, and I think it's going to look better.
Thank you, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what probably looks good? It's going to look better when it's in our hands. Mortal Kombat 1. Let's talk about it, because today's stories include Mortal Kombat 1 has finally been revealed. GTA 6 could come out early as next year and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, head to kindafunny.com/KFGD to write in with your questions, squad ups, and more. And remember, patreon.com/kindafunny will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you, a new Kinda Funny Games cast is up right now, and it's everyone's first impressions on Zelda Tears of the Kingdom after the first weekend of playing the game. Of course, you can catch that on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on the Gamescast podcast feed. And then today, Greg puts the Kinda Funny Championship on the line on the green. That's right. Greg, Nick, and Andy, and Mike are hitting the links of EA PGA Tour in a sponsored stream to determine who's the best at golf. Tune in on Twitch, and that's not me doing a weird way of saying it. That's how it's spelled. It's spelled Garf with an R.
Yep.
Tune in on Twitch and YouTube Thursday after KFGD, or that's today after KFGD, to see Greg easily defend his championship against three losers. This message is brought to you by Greg Miller. And then on Friday, that's tomorrow, May 19th, we're celebrating Kev and Mike's birthday with a special subathon marathon stream. We're going to be in our PJs, we're going to build a fort, and go late if you wanted to. Come join us for snacks, games, and some sleepover vibes. And then only on YouTube in the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post show.
Not today.
Not today, though. That's usually during the other days of the week, you're going to get that live stream.
we're not doing it today because the golf stream is going to be a bigger production. A lot of stuff going on. So we want to get to it ASAP. Oh, we need a little more time to do the switcheroo. But speaking of housekeeping real quick, I want to give one more shout out to the Tears of the Kingdom Gamescast that went live.
Yeah.
Because it was a joy to record that episode. Like, it's so rare that a game comes along that all of us are just in love with for different reasons, and being able to share those reasons with each other and like get that secondhand kind of like thrill that you get from even playing the game and hearing someone play it differently, all of it, like there's a something special about the Kinda Funny Games cast that went live today. So check it out.
There was a thing that Barrett showed me in the game this morning that blew my mind. And I'm somebody that's finished the game. I've played almost 80 hours of the game. Barrett showed me a thing where I'm like, absolutely no way. Like, I can't believe this is a thing that's in the game. And it's special that a game can do that after so long of playing it.
It's so good. I'm 3 hours away from having played 50 hours in the first week.
Hell yeah, dude. Wild. Look at us. gamers.
Gamers, baby.
Just a bunch of gamers.
I have had the worst sleeping schedule this last week.
It's been hard.
That's that. That's the gamer life. You know, that's part of what it is.
Last night I hit 10:45 and I was like, it's time to go to bed. But yeah, I've had 3 2:30 a.m. nights in the last week.
Heck yeah, dude.
It's been a lot.
Feels good, man.
Speaking of gamers, thank you to our Patreon producer, Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Shady Rays, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one. You know it's got to be a banger news story when our number one story isn't a Zelda story. All right. We're talking about Mortal Kombat 1. The new Mortal Kombat game has been announced. We're going to start off with a trailer reaction, Tim.
Yes,
have you seen
it.
The trailer this morning?
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I have not seen it with audio.
Sick. I've also seen small bits and pieces, mainly like screenshots and stuff people were sharing on Twitter, but I'm not watching the whole thing. Barrett has it pulled up, and we're going to watch it right now. I fade in. To Liu Kang?
It is time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It is time. Let's fucking go.
You know what? It is time, NetherRealm. Thank you.
Also, time.
Time to wake up. To a new reality.
Kung Lao.
To a blank canvas that I have painted in with warmth and peace.
I assume this is...
In my new era, the choice is yours.
Fire God Liu Kang talking.
Whether to live in quiet serenity.
I love the vibe of this. Strife. A little more...
Not what I expected.
Realistic, grounded, I don't know.
A bit more serene than you expect from Mortal Kombat.
Serene's a good word.
Dwell in joyous prosperity.
A lot more warmer colors. So there we got Katana.
Or bitter rivalry.
And then Melina. Just covering the teeth. Scorpion.
You can face each other.
Scorpion Sub-Zero about to spur up at a bar.
Or united as brothers.
Huh.
But a storm is brewing.
And man, this is high.
This is pretty dope.
Discover that even in this new era, one constant remains.
Who's that gonna be? Is that Shang Tsung?
Yeah.
There is always something worth fighting for.
Oh, here we go. Jesus.
Oh,
sound. Oh my god.
We should have done the content warning possibly. Hey guys,
Mortal fucking Kombat.
There's gonna be violence if you're watching the video version.
To defy peace. Then you have chosen war with a god.
Oh, dude.
There is no god. That's why I stepped in. Jesus.
Still screaming.
Who's that he just fucked up that way? We can rewrite it after this.
Wasn't that Shang Tsung?
Was that Shang Tsung?
I think so.
Shang Tsung is looking young.
Ooh, I'm liking the blue accents on the dragon there.
It's in our blood. September 19th.
September 19th.
There's a lot. Pre-order to get Shang Tsung and beta access. Oh, I'm surprised for how much Shang Tsung is in the trailer. He's not like a straight up like character. Like,
yeah, 2023
plus. Everything you gotta make some DLC.
It feels pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we keep talking about this new age of fighting games, Street Fighter 6. We have Tekken 8 on the way, but now, boom, we have Mortal Kombat coming this year, September. Feels right. I think that's a good enough gap away from Street Fighter being in early June. And on top of that, Mortal Kombat is kind of in a different area as well, especially because like people like me love the NetherRealm single-player stuff so much. And from what I'm seeing here, this is kind of what I was saying last week I'm looking forward to. A little bit simpler of a story, kind of like less time travel-y and less kind of like it's everything in the kitchen sink. This seems a little bit more pared down. We're not getting too many characters. Granted, this is the first CG trailer, but from the vibe of this seems very story, like narrative focused, and I'm in.
It seems pared back and simple in a way that I like, and I'm with you that I was a bit nervous and apprehensive about how much the time stuff was going to play into this game, because that was a big factor of the last game. When you build in a lot of time travel stuff, things can get really convoluted and really weird, and suddenly everything starts to mean nothing because cool, mm-hmm. time travel's coming in and rearranging everything. This seems like it's a bit more straightforward. I know we got some comments on time in the beginning of the trailer, and there are like a few allusions to that, but it seems like that might not be what this game is revolving around in the way that the last Mortal Kombat is revolved around it. I think what's interesting here is that, you know, them calling it Mortal Kombat 1 implies reboot, but this feels like more of a sequel.
Well, that's the thing, is I feel like this is kind of like a semi-Ultimate Comics situation where it is a reboot, but it's also just like in the same, it is part of the multiverse, whatever. Like, this seems to be like a new universe that I'm a little I don't remember, I'm hazy on some of the lore of the where the last DLC stuff ended, but Sun King
Fire God. Liu Kang at the end of Aftermath, he was basically reshaping the timeline. Because,
so
like,
I mentioned this is him, the new timeline.
Yeah, maybe,
so Mortal Kombat 1 timeline, whatever. So yeah, because of that, I imagine that's kind of just the setup to keep it in line with the rest of them. But then I don't think they're going to touch on that much throughout the story. Maybe at the end of it, post-credit tease or something, well, get back to it, which I'm down for.
The interesting thing is that, so Mortal Kombat 11, the proper game, ended with, Kronika was erasing the timeline up until the point of the game because she wanted to reshape the timeline.
That's Fire Kronika.
It's always Kronika, you know, smoking on that Kronika. But Fire God Liu Kang comes through, you know, fights.
They called him the Sun King.
Sun King. I mean, you're not far off.
So close, so far.
But yeah, it comes through, defeats her, and then I think depending on how you end it, it's like it's you, Raiden, and Katana that are like reshaping time and like recreating the timeline in like a proper way. But then Aftermath happens, Shang Tsung and I think like Raiden and Fujin come through, and then like that begins that quest. And then at the end of that game, of course, you have to fight Shang Tsung, or as Shang Tsung you fight Liu Kang depending on which side you choose. But I assume the canon is going to be as Liu Kang you defeat Shang Tsung, and then the cutscene that plays after is Liu Kang creating this new timeline, but then you cut to this martial arts school in what looks more like Mortal Kombat 1. It has more of the vibes of Mortal Kombat 1, and it's people doing martial arts, and then you transition into a room with Kung Lao, and this is Kung Lao chilling, and then Fire God Liu Kang shows up and is like, yeah, I've chosen you as my champion, and that's pretty much where it cuts. And so you imagine that that's what this story is going to be. It's going to be the god Liu Kang training up Kung Lao, or at least having Kung Lao represent him, probably represent Earth, I guess, another Mortal Kombat.
Different factions here, even the way that the trailer was set up, of like multiple characters in different groups. And they even teased the whole thing of like, will you fight against each other or fight together?
Yeah.
And then it kind of seems like at the end, the VO at least kind of was like, no, we're going to fucking fight. But that I do think is interesting to separate the characters in that fashion. And I feel like that makes sense from a NetherRealm, like, campaign perspective, where they normally do that, of like bouncing between a couple different storylines and you have different fights from different perspectives.
Yeah, it's super interesting that the characters that we're seeing so far are all classic Mortal Kombat characters. We're not seeing the combat kids come through, right? Like, there's no like Takeda or it's always like Kung Lao's cousin, and then what's his name, Johnny Cage's kid, and then Jax's kid. We're not Jackie Briggs. We're not seeing them pop up in this trailer, which makes me wonder if we see them pop up. I saw somebody mention on Twitter, I'm trying to remember, I think it might have been Ash Parrish from The Verge, who mentioned like, what if those characters come through because they show up and they're like, hey, we got to get rid of this timeline because we want to exist. Like, we're fighting for our existence. And so now you have the timelines clashing again. Again, I think that would be convoluted. I'm fine with those characters not coming back, at least in the proper game. Bring them back as DLC if you want to. But yeah, I like that we're getting back to basics. I like that we're getting back to like Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3 roster.
Get roster for sure. Interesting in the chat, people are bringing up that on the website, there's more info saying that it's an assist fighter.
So that's actually what I want to get into. So Ryan Dinsdale at IGN has his article breaking down the Mortal Kombat announcement, and it reads like this. Warner Brothers Games and NetherRealm Studios have officially revealed that a rebooted Mortal Kombat 1 will arrive on September 19th for PS5, Xbox Series X, Switch, and PC. Following an earnings call tease earlier this year, Warner Brothers Discovery and NetherRealm announced Mortal Kombat 1 officially on its website and released a reveal trailer. Mortal Kombat 1 is the latest title in the acclaimed Mortal Kombat franchise developed by NetherRealm, reads the post on the website. Quote, the game will introduce a reborn Mortal Kombat universe that has been created by Fire God Liu Kang, featuring reimagined versions of iconic characters as they've never been seen before, along with a new fighting system, game modes, bone-crushing finishing moves, and more, end quote. These characters so far include Liu Kang, Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Raiden, Kung Lao, Katana, Melina, Shang Tsung, Johnny Cage, and many more. NetherRealm has confirmed these characters to feature in a new story mode, but is yet to reveal which other game modes will feature in Mortal Kombat 1. Pre-ordering a $109.99 premium version, so $110, will get player early access beginning on September 14th, alongside 1,250 Dragon Crystals, the in-game currency. With a K. Yeah, I can't forget the K. You'll also get a Johnny Cage skin styled after Jean-Claude Van Damme. Cool. Early access to 6 new playable characters and 5 new cameo fighters.
Cameo spelled with a K.
Cameo spelled with a K. Shout out to Rare, the Rare cameo. These cameo fighters, this is all cameo.
Oh my God.
And they're fighting.
That game.
These cameo fighters are a new roster of characters that assist the player during matches and are chosen from a unique roster separate to the main Mortal Kombat 1 characters. A beta will also take place in August for those who pre-order any version of the game on PS5 and Xbox Series X, while post-launch NetherRealm will add crossplay and cross-regression. Post-launch? Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't like that.
That stuck out to me right there. I didn't see that previously.
Not good, but I'm interested in the assist characters being different. It's like Marvel versus Capcom 1.
Yes.
Where some of the characters weren't actually playable if they were assists. But that's cool. I think it kind of opens it up a bit. But yeah, what's your take on this?
I mean, I it's different for sure from Mortal Kombat. Like, my hope going into this was that we'd see maybe a tag team fighting mode, because I really like that. I really like that in fighting games in general. But even, I believe Mortal Kombat 9 had a tag team mode that I played with friends all the time. And I believe that one even had it so that you and your friend can be on a tag team. So you switch back and forth. And I love that type of shit. Assist stuff, not really my jam, actually, when it comes to fighting games. Like, I am not a big Marvel versus Capcom person, and like, I've grown to be over the years, right? Like, I've warmed up to the idea of playing a King of Fighters type game or a Marvel versus Capcom type game. But for me, when I read assist fighters, my mind immediately goes to, oh man, you're gonna take characters who I really want to play as and make them assist fighters. In the way that when we talk about Smash, we talk about trophies, and like, oh, okay, well, if they're gonna be a trophy, that means that they're not gonna be a playable character in this game. Like, if I'm a fucking nerd who wants to play as Bo Raichu in Mortal Kombat, which I am, Bo Raichu seems like a character they would make an assist fighter, a cameo fighter, instead of a mainline fighter, which I get because he's not as, you know, front and center as a Scorpion or a Sub-Zero. But that's my fear with it. My fear is that we see characters get sidelined into being these cameo fighters. But what's your read on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there for sure. But I like the idea of this being a pared-down experience and a smaller roster, but they will grow that over time. It's Mortal Kombat. They always do. And it gets kind of like, wow. I mean, even here, they're already getting Jean-Claude Van Damme involved in some way. So that should be interesting. Cameos next. But I think it's cool, and I feel like depending on how intensive the assists are, whether it is more just pop and do the one move and pop out, or if it is a little bit more involved like we've seen in some other games, I think it could be very cool visually. And for a game like Mortal Kombat, that imagine this game. Hold on, let me see something. Is it only next gen? You said all the consoles. Well, it's next gen Switch. And then Switch. Yeah. So that's interesting. But on the PlayStation and Xbox side, it is just next gen.
And it is being, I saw somewhere that's being developed by a different studio for Switch.
So then you got to imagine it's going to have like a lot of those fancy features and like graphics and particles and everything. Yeah. So add assist to that, I think it's going to be a very flashy game. Very gory. Yeah. Very flashy.
Are there any modes that you want to see? They talk about, of course, the story mode is coming back, which it has to, because that is now Mortal Kombat's mainstay. That is the thing that people love from the new Mortal Kombat games. Are there other things that you'd love to see there?
That's it, man. I like the story. With these games, back in the day, loved the PS2 era of, wow, by Deadly Alliance and Deception, you get 20 different games because there's so many mini games and things, and they're all fun in their own ways. Where we're at nowadays, I would rather just focus on the things that I need. Like, even with Injustice 2, I remember booting it up and like just being overwhelmed with the amount of modes and stuff. And I'm sure that they're for some people, but they're not for me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just there for the story and then maybe just some fun multiplayer matches. But really, NetherRealm story is why I'm playing these games.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. I do like the gimmicky stuff. You know, the chess combats, the cart combat, I think it might have been called, all that stuff, I'm down with. The Towers, I know a lot of people love the Towers. The Towers I can be kind of hit or miss on. I don't really care when it feels grindy. That's when they lose me. And I feel like lately with the Mortal Kombat stuff, the Towers have been on the more grindy side of like, yeah, collect all these things so you can buy the things and collect the things. Like even here where they're talking about the dragon crystals, I read that and my eyes glaze over a little bit. But yeah, like it's Mortal Kombat. Like I'm excited for the story. I'm excited to play with friends. All that stuff is going to be there. I'm curious to see more of the character roster. Are we going to get new characters that we haven't seen before? What does that come in the form of? And then, yeah, who are going to be the assist fighters? Who are going to be the cameo fighters that get sidelined? Or, like, is that going to work as a cool thing? Are we going to get that and then go, this is the future of Mortal Kombat? Actually, this was very additive. We've seen that happen with Mortal Kombat, I feel like, with all the iterations that have come through recently, where in Mortal Kombat 9, they brought us back to 2D, and it was fucking fantastic, mm-hmm. right? And, like, that game brought us in with the story mode, and it was fucking fantastic.
That's right.
The X-ray feature, that was dope as hell. So Mortal Kombat 11 brought in the different fighting styles that you can choose per character, and even though that was like, I like it and I don't like it at the same time, for me,
always with those things.
Yeah, but I know a lot of people that did dig that stuff, and so at the very least, they're innovating and finding ways to freshen up the franchise and make there a reason for this to be a new iteration as opposed to just like an update, like a DLC. This seems like a, hey, let's build something new from the ground up once again and try to push things forward in a cool
exciting.
Way. Very exciting stuff. Story number two, speaking of exciting stuff, GTA 6 might be coming out as soon as next year. This is Rebecca Valentine at IGN. Publisher Take-Two Interactive may have just teased the release window for the next entry in the biggest gaming franchise of all time, Grand Theft Auto 6. It could be on the way as soon as next year. In a press release issued alongside its yearly earnings report, Take-Two shared projections for the coming years, including a massive projection for fiscal years 2025 and 2026. For context, fiscal 2025 will begin in April of 2024. Quote, looking ahead, fiscal 2025 is a highly anticipated year for our company, the release states. It continues, for the last several years, we have been preparing our business to release an incredibly robust pipeline of projects that we believe will take our company to even greater levels of success. In fiscal 2025, we expect to enter this new era by launching several groundbreaking titles that we believe will set new standards in our industry and enable us to achieve over $8 billion in net bookings and over $1 billion in adjusted unrestricted operating cash flow. We expect to sustain this momentum by delivering even higher levels of operating results in fiscal 2026 and beyond, end quote. While Take-Two doesn't explicitly name Grand Theft Auto here, it's hard to imagine any other franchise doing this work for them. I'm going to pause there and say, it's hilarious to read through their statement of like $8 billion we're looking forward to in that fiscal year and have anything in mind aside from Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like, it's either Grand Theft Auto or you're planning to invade a country. Like, that's wild. That's wild that they're talking about that and not even you just straight up using the words Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
But to continue on with Rebecca Valentine's article, for one, Take-Two's net bookings this past fiscal year reached $5.3 billion, a record annual high. Notably, this record was reached thanks to contributions of Zynga, which it acquired last year. Prior to this, Take-Two's regular annual net bookings were looking roughly in the $3 billion ballpark and steadily rising. It took the acquisition of a major mobile developer to see them leap over $1 billion in the space of a single year. So to achieve a goal of $8 billion, Take-Two would need to make significant acquisitions or release nearly double the amount of games it historically has or release at least one absolute behemoth of a game, aka Grand Theft Auto. Notably, Take-Two expects to do even better in its takings the following year, something that seems impossible without the likes of GTA Online built on the foundations of a brand new GTA game to propel its revenue sky high. It's hard to imagine any other franchise or even multiple new games combined doing these kind of numbers.
I mean, yeah.
We're getting it.
And like, so something interesting that I saw Imran posting about is, so with Red Dead Redemption 2 at over 53 million copies sold, like absolutely astronomical number. But even compared to GTA, it's like, oh, it did well.
Yeah.
But like, GTA is just
you compare
so
to GTA and you're like, it did I.
You compare to anything else, like those numbers are wild. But Imran brings up an interesting observation here, saying, while to consider Rockstar and Take-Two just didn't make a current gen Red Dead Redemption 2 port, there's no way it wouldn't make back the money. So the only other reason would have been opportunity cost. Mm-hmm. So add that together with everything you're saying here. It's like, yeah, GTA 6, we know is being worked on, but it's been being worked on, and I feel like we are getting to that point where it's been a couple years since we're saying GTA 6 will be in a couple years.
Yeah.
So as the years go on and we just get deeper into this console cycle and more of them are in people's hands, and there is a new kind of like standard of hardware in households, I feel like it's time. And for them to come out and just change the game. Utterly change the game, bless. When GTA 6 drops, every record will be shattered.
1,000%.
Every single one. We'll look at Pokemon and laugh. Zelda, yeah. Who the fuck are you?
Who the fuck are you, Zelda? I want to bring in a question from Jake Rocks 007, who writes in the kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, with GTA 6 possibly coming out in the next 12 months and E3, and I'm going to stop you there, it'll come out in the next, let's say, 12 to 18 months or 12 to 24 months. I don't know about the next 12 months. But with GTA 6 possibly coming out soon and E3 season starting, do you believe we are about to see the first glimpses of the game? If so, whose press conference will it be at? Sony, Xbox, Summer Game Fest, or will Rockstar not want to share the stage and do something themselves, not wanting to share the spotlight? Also, if you want to guess for fun, who will get exclusive content/marketing, and who can guess the release date the closest?
Ooh, I love this.
Yeah. So let's start off with that first half. Do we see it in the summer season get revealed?
This summer season, I would say there is a 20% chance.
Mm-hmm. I think it was yesterday. I forget if it was the conversation I was having with you or Greg, because you guys were both on KFGD. But we were talking about, like, would a GTA 6 show up at PlayStation Showcase?
Yeah, it was us.
Yeah. I find it hard to imagine, like, GTA 6. Because if you're going to have GTA 6 at a showcase, that is the closer. That is the, all right, now everybody, like, eyes toward GTA 6. This is the big thing. That's what the entire week becomes about. It's all about GTA 6. Because there's no bigger announcement you can make than that. On the marketing agreement side, yeah, PlayStation gets the marketing agreement with GTA 6 for sure. Like, I think that would make a lot of sense. Would they? Like, would Rockstar even give anybody the specific marketing agreements in that way when GTA 6? Like, they don't really need that, right?
I remember in my first week at IGN, Red Dead Redemption 2 was officially announced with that teaser.
Yeah.
And they just fucking, like, they just tweeted it out, man.
And that's the thing. That's like, what Rockstar can do.
Yeah, they don't need anybody. They have that power. So I think this is past Summer Game Fest on a fucking random Wednesday morning sometime in like October, you know.
I also think that for the PlayStation side, I would think that PlayStation wants to close out a PlayStation showcase with a PlayStation game. Like, they want people to treat those games like the end all be all. I think it would even make more sense to see a GTA 6 at a Summer Game Fest, where there you do get to own the day. You're going to be the closer, you're going to be the biggest thing, and Jeff Keighley has everything to gain from that. Jeff Keighley would absolutely love that, in the way that Elden Ring came through a couple years ago and was that for him. GTA 6 is a big step up from that even. And I think that would be such a get there. Even there, like, again, to Barry's point, it doesn't have to be that. Like, it could just be a Twitter post. I think GTA 6 is coming out.
I think that's the most likely outcome. Like, I think that it's a 90% lock that GTA 6 will be announced via Rockstar. Yeah. Whether it's a tweet or a promoted stream that they do or something. I do think that they're going to try to eventize it a little bit more than they did with Red Dead. But even with Red Dead, it wasn't just a random tweet, right? Like, wasn't there, like, there was some type
like
of build-up to that tweet?
People are in the chat are saying they changed the color of their logo on Twitter.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, cool. So that type of thing, it's like, cool.
But again,
I can
there
see
was
them.
No showcase affiliate. Like, they literally
it was just a
like,
thing they released
on
their
YouTube,
on YouTube
and
socials. And
Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that type of thing happening again, but just with where we're at now, I can see them also trying to get even more eyes, just as streaming has become even more prevalent, the way that these events happen and people get views and monetize the announcement itself. But I think there's also a different likelihood that, although slim, that it could be tied to PlayStation just because that synergy of wanting to dominate the market and make extra money. Like, why wouldn't Rockstar want to make the money that PlayStation would be willing to pay just for having that be part of something? I don't think that's going to happen. I'm just saying, like, I do think that that's not out of the realm of possibility. And Keighley, yes, he would die for this.
Yeah, he would maybe kill for this.
Like, 100%. And, like, that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's going to happen. But also, it could. It could.
Yeah.
It's just a very, very slim possibility. Xbox, I think, is not in a position for that to happen, mainly because of how caught up they are in a lot of the legal stuff and acquisitions and all that. I just feel like the money and it's messy. It's too messy. I feel like you don't go with mess. You go with the sure thing.
Yeah. But here's my thing. If this game really is coming out next fiscal year, right? If this game is coming out, let's say fall, end of 2024,
mm-hmm.
you gotta announce it soon, right? Like, you gotta get that ball rolling. This is GTA 6 we're talking about. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to get hype about here.
You do and you don't, though, right? Like, I think that, again, it's Rockstar. They don't need to do anything. It's one of the only games they can put out, and boom, it's gonna sell no matter what just because of the title. Looking here at 180 million sold for GTA 5. 180 million copies of this video game.
That's wild.
What?
That's 18 Wii U's.
We talk about Mario Kart 8 being this insane market leader when it comes to sales, and that's at what?
50 million.
Cool. 180 million, man. Like, that is so absolutely wild. I'm excited, man. I love that we've been talking about GTA 6 for years, and like, not much has changed. Like, we're still just talking about it, but time has passed. So at some point, we're getting it. I think we're going to get it sometime.
It's wild that more people, like, and I know it doesn't work this way, but when you just take it per units, technically in that way, more people have bought GTA 5 than Switch consoles.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Any individual modern console, really, like, you can apply that to. That's fucking wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of copies. That's crazy, dude, man. I can't wait for GTA 6. To the second part of Jake Rock's question here, right? I guess we already talked about exclusive content / marketing. I don't think anybody's going to get exclusive content / marketing.
I think PlayStation's going to get marketing.
Okay.
Content, I don't think so. I think that, like, that trend has changed, but I do think that there will be commercials and shit, or the PlayStation, or whatever the fuck they do nowadays. Yeah. I don't know. And then Grand Theft
Auto. Greatness awaits. Six.
Yeah.
That's the old one. And then... who can guess the release date the closest? I'm sticking with fall, like late 2024. I'm going to say October.
So their MO is September, October for these things, right? Yeah. Red Dead 2 was September, I want to say, and October is the normal month, at least I remember being for...
GTA 5. Yeah.
And
well.
October was Red Dead.
Dude, I remember that those. September well, because I almost failed my classes because of GTA 5. I was like, a junior in college? Mm. And yeah, no, that was rough.
Yeah.
That was a rough semester. Oh, yeah.
September, October 2024, I feel, is the target goal. It's Rockstar. Things can shift. Things will shift if they need them to. So I can see it being pushed to 2025 sometime early, but I don't think that they want to do that. Mm. So I'm bouncing right now between saying either October 2024 or May 2025.
All right. We'll have to see. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over at patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
Shout out to Shady Rays for sponsoring this episode. Do you want to look as cool as I look? Yes, you do. And you can. You can take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an unbeatable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair that I've ever worn in my life. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Exclusively for you listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. You can go to shadyrays.com and use the code KINDOFFUNNY. You can get 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. You can try for yourself the shades that are rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Promo code KINDOFFUNNY at shadyrays.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Story number three, Sony unveils the Access controller for PS5 to assist disabled players. This is Ed Nightingale at Eurogamer. Sony has revealed the name of its accessibility controller, previously known as Project Leonardo. The Access controller for PS5, as it's now known, was first revealed at CES earlier this year and is a highly customizable controller kit to help players with disabilities play games more easily. Sony has also revealed the UI for the controller as it will appear on the console. The Access controller features an array of swappable buttons and stick caps, as well as the ability to use it in multiple orientations or secured to a tripod. Through four 3.5mm aux ports, players can plug in their own additions like switches, buttons, or analog sticks. As for the UI, players will be able to create personalized settings and configurations in a distinct profile, including setting the controller orientation, button assignments, stick sensitivity, and more. Further, the Access controller can be paired with a DualSense for use as one virtual controller or to play collaboratively with another player. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, man. It's great. You know, you see Xbox do so many different things when it comes to the hardware side and even the software side to help accessibility. And PlayStation has done an excellent job, I would say, on the software side and operating system side to make sure that PlayStation Studios games at least have the options needed. They're getting the consultation that is required from the right people to be able to progress in this way. And they've been a little behind on the hardware side to be able to help. So
yeah.
This is awesome. I imagine that they consulted with the people necessary for this. But I think that it's a great step regardless of putting these things out and at least trying to help more and more people as time goes on.
1,000%. I recommend people who are interested in this, go check out the YouTube video on the PlayStation YouTube channel. It's a six minute and 46 second video of them detailing all the stuff that you can do with it. I like how sleek it looks.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's the thing that doesn't come up as much when it comes to the accessibility hardware, but I look at that, I'm like, yo, they brought that in line with the whole PS5 aesthetic.
Yeah.
You know, you got that, you got the DualSense Edge, now you got the Access controller that can live on the same shelf and look pretty dope. So good on you.
Mm-hmm.
Story number four, Lords of the Fallen arrives this October. This is from Ryan Dinsdale at IGN. Lords of the Fallen is coming to PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC on October 13th this year. Revealed in a gameplay reveal trailer, developer Hexworks has given fans a proper first look at the Dark Souls, and not first, fans a first proper look at the Dark Souls and Elden Ring-esque game running on Unreal Engine 5. Quote, Mornstead has fallen. Its great army decimated by the legions of Adir, the demon god, reads a dramatic opening screen, quote, but one light still flickers in the ever-growing gloom, the light of the Dark Crusader, end quote. The trailer then slips into gameplay, showing a range of environments and enemies present in the spiritual successor to 2014's Lords of the Fallen. Tim, I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I've not cared about this game up until now. We've seen trailers at various events. It's all been CGI stuff with weird music choices.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been like, all right, cool, it looks fine, it's whatever. This will appeal to the Lords of the Fallen fan. I watched this full trailer. Looks actually pretty cool.
Now that they're telling you that it's an Elden Ring-like, you're like, oh.
I read Elden Ring-like, and I was like, actually, game of the year. Let's fucking go. But if you fast forward, they have more gameplay bits, and it really does look like that style of fantasy action game, right? It looks like it's going to appeal to that audience. And it makes me want to pick it up. And now it has a date.
Every time I see the character from Elden Ring that has like the armor with like the red like hair or feathers or something coming out,
mm-hmm.
and then there's this character that looks exactly the same, reminds me of Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep.
Yeah? Why so?
There's a character in the Keyblade War that looks like
don't talk more words after saying Keyblade War. Keyblade War.
I don't know, man. Birth by Sleep.
I mean, he sounds as insane as we do when we talk about the Kong War, you know, Blaze.
Nah, man, the Kong War is as straightforward as it goes, all right?
Yeah.
Funky Kong needs to sell his arms so he can pay for his rent and also so he can protect the Kongs from the Kremlins out there.
Kremlins be out there.
The Kremlins be out there. The Kremlins. You know the Kremlins. No, not the... No. They're like these alligator guys that walk on 2 feet.
Like King K. Rool.
King K. Rool. You know that if you put K. Rool together, it spells cruel.
Whoa.
So yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Story number five, Xbox debuts PC games to NVIDIA GeForce Now members beginning today. This comes directly from Sarah Bond over on Xbox Wire, the Xbox official blog. We're thrilled to share that starting today, NVIDIA GeForce Now Cloud Gaming members in the UK, the US, the European Union, and around the world can stream Gears 5, and on May 25th...
Try to stop you right there.
What up?
I know that it's not. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it is. I just love the unintentional shade there of, hey, we're thrilled to say, starting today on GeForce Now, a cloud-based thing for the UK, US, and the European Union.
I did see they separated that out. They're observing Brexit or whatever. But yeah, May 25th, we'll be able to enjoy fan favorites Deathloop, Grounded, and Pentiment. This is just the beginning of our forward-thinking 10-year partnership with NVIDIA to make PC games from the Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda available to their GeForce Now members. Together, we're accelerating access to players around the globe by letting them choose how and when they game. This is the first in a series of partnerships we're activating to make our PC games available to players globally through a variety of cloud gaming services, starting with NVIDIA GeForce Now and with Boosteroid, Ubitus, EE, and Enware in the future. They made some of those up. We remain committed to releasing current titles from Xbox Game Studios and Bethesda and future Activision Blizzard PC games once Microsoft's acquisition closes. And yeah, this is 1,000% them being like, all right, like the CMA is going to block us. Hey, let's show that we're doing work right now. Like, let's make games available right now to NVIDIA GeForce Now to reinforce the fact that, hey, we're committed. You know, cloud gaming, it's not a monopoly. Our games are everywhere.
Yeah. And also, shout out to Gears 5.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like Gears 5 a lot. You play Gears 5?
No.
It's a great game. Fantastic game. Mm-hmm. But there's something about, like, the first 3 hours that are just really, really good stuff.
Oh yeah.
There's one set piece in particular about 3 hours in that I'm like, huh, I think about that a lot.
Oh yeah.
Think about it a lot.
Do you think about it more than the Keyblade Wars?
Definitely not. The music during that shit is too hype, man.
Yeah?
Oh yeah.
If there's anything that I trust and love about Kingdom Hearts, it is the music.
Oh yeah.
Kingdom Hearts music is fucking goated.
Mm-hmm.
Story number 6. BlizzCon 2023 returns to a live event in November. This is Stephanie Nunnally Jackson at VG 24/7. Blizzard has announced BlizzCon will be returning to the Anaheim Convention Center on November 3rd through the 4th. It's been around 4 years since the last live show, but it's coming back and you can book rooms now for it. Quote, our players are at the heart of what makes BlizzCon great, a place where games are the common ground for connection and friendship, said the studio. Quote, whether you're coming to hang out with your friends you only ever get to see online, celebrating epic moments in the games we love, exploring what's on offer in the convention center halls, or eager to learn what's next for our universes, BlizzCon is being created for you. It's the community that has always made this event so special, and we can't wait to see you all again, end quote. More deets on the show will be shared next month, including ticketing information, cosplay, and other competition details. Cool.
It is cool. Kind of interested in this, like just thinking back the last couple of years of BlizzCon were controversial to say the least for multitudes of reasons. And I feel like a lot of those reasons have changed, some of them haven't. And with where they're at now,
it's actually kind of wild how many reasons. Like, BlizzCon has been such a weird thing because it went from the whole Diablo Immortal situation of literally fans of the audience walking up and being like, is this an out of season April Fool's joke and making fun of this game announcement that they just did, like to their faces.
Yeah.
That went viral. Like, that's wild. There was the whole Blitzchung situation with the China stuff. And then, like, of course, there's been the whole hubbub with Activision Blizzard and the sexual harassment and in office toxic work environment that's been going on, where every year there's been a different reason to be mad at Blizzard.
Yeah.
And it's back in person now.
And then now with all that, the acquisition stuff too, with the
acquisition
side,
stuff.
It's just interesting.
There's Overwatch campaign not being there.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what this means. I don't know if this is just hey, let's just get back to it and like have it be a community thing and like try to get things to be good again, or they're talking about announcements. So maybe Diablo 4 is just coming out, right? Maybe they're going to try to... That would make sense, right?
Follow up on content. Yeah, they're for sure going to talk about content for that.
But,
interesting. Another Blizzard. I'm sure there'll be a WoW thing. Probably a WoW classic thing. Ask me to name more Blizzard franchises. I got you. Hearthstone. StarCraft won't be there. Does StarCraft still get new content?
No.
I've not heard somebody say the name StarCraft in years.
Well, StarCraft
Ghost. It's one of the three games Alyssa's ever played.
It is popular. I mean,
she played a lot in college.
I know for a fact that, yeah, StarCraft historically super popular. But that's what's one of the ones where when we talk about like those games that people are playing that we just don't think about, like it's hard to even think of those games off the top of my head. StarCraft is one that like I feel like is even buried beneath that. Of you say the word StarCraft, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Like people play that. That's wild.
I mean, StarCraft was absolutely huge. Like, yeah, it was one of the bigger ones. Like, I mean, especially in the late 90s and when StarCraft 2 was coming out, the hype.
I'm talking about today, though. Yeah, for sure. Historically, StarCraft fucking huge. Oh, I remember my best friend growing up being a big StarCraft person.
I mean, dude, the computer, what are they called? Not clubs.
Communities, forums.
The places you go to play computer games with friends, like LAN centers. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. Like, all those things were computer cafes, like all that. Cyber cafe. That's it. Cyber cafes. It was StarCraft and Counter-Strike. That's it. But yeah, all I would do was just send out a bunch of Reavers, these big like snail tank things, like slugs. I liked them. I liked the way they looked. So I would just Reaver everyone up. I didn't win ever.
What if they announced a new StarCraft? StarCraft
3?
3.
I think people would be really excited.
They come out and they announce StarCraft Ghost.
Get craftier.
As building this time. Right? We've learned from Zelda. People love it so much in Zelda. Let's make a new StarCraft and let people make fucking StarCraft, airplanes and shit.
The mobile game. You have phones, don't you?
That seems StarCraft's like something that immortal. Exists.
That'll go over well.
Hold on. That's got to be a thing that exists, right? StarCraft mobile.
No.
No?
No.
I feel like that... It kind of makes sense, though, if you think about it. A StarCraft mobile game?
Uh-huh.
Listen, I typed in StarCraft mobile, and the first thing that pops up is a Reddit post from 2018 saying, wait, StarCraft... on my mobile phone?
Listen, you heard it here first. Listen. In 2018, someone on Reddit said, StarCraft... on my mobile phone.
And, like, there's more threads like it. Somebody says StarCraft mobile. Somebody says, here's StarCraft on Android. That's from 2019. People are asking for it, too.
Apparently, there's a quote-unquote leak. Blizzard is working on a new game, StarCraft Mobile, So, yeah, it's safe to say that StarCraft does not currently have a mobile game.
Oh, that's great.
But imagine if that's what they kick things off with at BlizzCon this year. It's like, all you see is the word StarCraft. And people are, like, losing their fucking minds. People are throwing up.
Mobile?
Our final news story for the day, story number 7, SpongeBob is coming to Power Wash Simulator.
Hell yeah.
I don't even have a write-up for this one. This is one the Barrett has pulled up the little teaser video that they posted on the Power Wash Simulator website where you're in the Power Wash game, you're first person, you look down from the sky and you see a dirtied old pineapple house. It's SpongeBob's house, but it's all dirty. Next to Squidward's house, which is also all dirty. Next to Patrick's
dirty houses.
You gotta clean these houses.
Use a sponge to clean. That's gonna get a little weird.
That's gonna get really weird. Yeah, I should play Power Wash Simulator. I'm deciding it right now.
I think it's really funny because we have a Slack channel called KFGD. That anytime anyone on the team sees a news story, they're like, "Oh, this should be in Games Daily." We just Slack it, and then it makes it easier for Bless when he's prepping the show to be like, oh, "Okay, cool. I'm gonna pull from these stories," and we all kind of. There's the most obvious news stories that any of us see, and like whoever sees it first throws it in there. But then there's always the ones that are a little bit more like person specific. And so I always get excited when I get a Slack for KFGD. Do you guys feel the same way? Where I'm like, oh, there's some news.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know. Something's happening.
Whenever, like, it depends on the person, right? Uh-huh. Like, if it's you or Greg slacking KFGD, it's like, all right, they found, like, the biggest news of the day. I always get tantalized when it's like Roger sending in like news KFGD, because I'm like, what weird shit did Roger find today?
Totally. Yeah.
Roger is always some like weird, like something tertiary to gaming that's like slightly related, but just super interesting in general.
Yeah. It's just great though, because I'm always like, oh, what's happening? Like, did PlayStation announce a showcase? Like, what's going on? And I love it because, like, I swear to God, for some reason, for the last 9 out of 10 times I've looked when it's been Barrett, it's been SpongeBob for later. And like, it's just very funny.
It's actually really funny.
I know that I'm the only one who's getting that on his fucking feed.
I just love it. You
know? I did see this one in the wild. I did see this one pop up on Twitter.
And you didn't put it on the doc?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I just didn't put it in the KFGD channel because I was already just making KFGD at that point. But yeah, I'm looking at what are the last things Roger put in here. I'm trying to find. Roger's put it in the actual news sometimes. He's doing a good job.
Sorry for people watching. Sorry for people listening.
Oh, shit. When do these guys get here?
They're calling their shots,
Mike, what's up with this outfit? You look great today.
Thank you, Bless.
And you're out of breath. And you're wearing a baseball.
You're out of breath.
Ready to just absolutely smack one across the links today.
Oh, is that why all these golf clubs are here? Is that?
Oh, I'm so scared of this video wall.
Checking out the course. Seeing the course. Seeing the conditions.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do.
Conditions here on Oak Hill.
Wait, is this a course? Is this where you're playing golf? Are you playing the golf here in the studio?
Yeah. We're playing golf in the studio. Get ready.
Is that what that's there for? Barrett, give us the jib. People need to see. Oh man, never mind. It's not gonna reach there.
The jib's on the way. It's working its way over.
Lots of tricks up our sleeves. Don't you worry about that.
What is that? I can't wait. This stream is gonna be an absolute blast.
I'm scared about.
Join the boys as they hit the green.
I'm very scared.
Is your brother here today?
He's on the way.
I'm gonna send him for beers.
Oh god.
Ooh. Oh no.
Golf!
Honestly, I'd rather beer than a Coke, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
Tim, I'm not going to lie. I'm very excited for beers.
Yeah, this is going to be good. Oh, you're beer happy.
The beers are just so far away.
Oh.
If I wanted those to come out to mom and grab shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show each and every weekday. I was perplexed.
Yeah.
You're my little
spider
boy.
11 out of 10, Bless.
You got me there. Because like, yeah, you and Andy are my cider boys. Anytime I know I'm hanging out with you guys or we're doing a party, I'm always like, I got to buy some ciders for these boys.
Oh, yeah, man. You either get some cider or get some Ciroc. I'm on the Ciroc.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Cider
I'm
and Ciroc, baby.
Out today, we got Firmament for PC, The Outlast Trials for PC, Dead Hook for MetaQuest, I Am Future for PC, Pocket Mirror, Golden Ertrom for PC, System of Souls for PS5 and PC, and X8 for PC and MetaQuest. New dates for you. Slayers X launches June 1st on PC and Xbox. Bleaksword DX is coming to Switch and PC on June 8th. Homebody launches June 1st for Xbox One, Xbox Series X, PS4, PS5, and PC. The Case of the Golden Idol is coming to Switch on May 25th. Right now, if you're watching the video version, Barrett has a trailer up for, I believe, this is The Case of the Golden Idol. Is that correct?
Yeah, I just wanted to showcase this because I think the Giant Bomb crew really loved this game last year, and this was like one of them that was talked about for their like bigger game of the year, like awards and categories and all that stuff. So yeah, definitely check it out because I feel like it went under the radar last year.
Monochrome Morbius for PS4 and PS5 launches September 5th in North America and September 8th in Europe. Pokemon Home Support for Pokemon Scarlet and Violet launches May 24th.
Yes! Holy shit! Wait! I have been waiting for this date. No, what? When was this announced?
I think it was announced today.
Oh, man. Oh, your boy is very happy about this, Bless. This is very exciting times.
What does that mean for you?
I get to transfer my guys to my home.
Oh.
And I get to organize them.
Oh.
The connection continues, everybody. Oh, this is great.
That's exciting.
This is great. I learned something today on
this
show.
When this becomes available, Tim isn't touching Zelda or any other game for like a month.
Yeah, he's getting. What was the raid you did last time?
Terror raid with the. Oh, man. I forget his name. Naughty something.
Yeah, it was like Chestnut.
Chestnut. Notre Dome. Pokemon Y and X?
Yeah. Chespin's evolution.
Yeah,
you're gonna be catching all the chestnuts.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah.
That's what happens when I get nervous. I be catching some chestnuts. Given Beyond the Trees is coming to PS4 and PS5 on June 1st, and the Maquette is coming to Nintendo Switch on May 25th. That's what happens when I get this haircut from just an older man.
I listen to the Dan Levitard show with Andy, and every once in a while, when someone says something incredibly stupid, they get like sent out into the penalty box. If we had a penalty box, I'd be sending you there.
Fair.
Right now.
Fair. I get it. Deal of the day for you: Death Stranding is free on Epic Games Store until May 25th.
Oh,
we got time for one reader mail.
Cool.
So I'm going to bring up this one from C.W. Luke, who writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can, and says, "Good morning, Bless and Tim. I watched your recap yesterday of what the PlayStation Showcase could entail, and I could feel the hype through my screen. Considering I did skip a console generation, PS4 and Xbox One, I'm even a little more hazy, but I'm wondering, has PlayStation ever missed? I know Xbox is doing its own thing, / playing catch-up, and Nintendo thrives to the beat of its own drummer, but I just can't imagine this level of hype for anyone else. Please do not get me wrong. I am not bad-mouthing anyone. I'm curious to know if after all this time, PlayStation has consistently stepped up its game year after year throughout their history. If so, I can't wait to see bigger and better for the next 29 years. Tim, has PlayStation ever missed?"
In terms of their showcases, I do not think they have. In terms of any showcase they've done, period, yes, I think they've had many, many, many misses. But I do think that with the way that they understand how to announce their products and market their products at this point, and with the products that they have and the track record that they have over the last now two generations of consoles, like, I feel like we expect them to be banger showcases. And, like, the level of disappointment is a lot different than it is going into something else. We're like, oh, we're hoping we see this. It'd be cool if we saw that. With PlayStation showcases, there are multiple things that we just expect to be there. They're very exciting things. I do think that they're not alone. Like, I think the Nintendo Direct levels of hype, like, whether the Direct's going to be good or bad, the hype leading into it is, like, its own thing,
yeah.
Right? But I do think PlayStation showcases at this point have earned a similar pedigree of excitement and hype and engagement with how interested people are on watching it and watching the trailers coming out of it. The Spider-Man reveal trailer, whether it was the CG stuff or the gameplay trailer for Insomniac's games and the Spider-Man 2 announcement trailer, are some of the most popular video game videos ever.
Yeah.
Some of the most popular Spider-Man Marvel videos ever. Like, that is power in this day and age. So, I don't think that they miss. I don't think when it comes to a showcase, I think they know what they have, and I think they're not going to fuck that up. And I think they've royally fucked up the State of Play brand, where people expect that to be, at best, a messy showcase that has some exciting moments. At worst, just a waste of time. Whereas showcases, I think that people expect them to bring the heat.
Yeah, that's my thing is, State of Plays, I think they fucked up with State of Plays. I think those fuck up all the time. With PlayStation Showcase, especially, like, if we're just counting the last few years of PlayStation Showcases, right, which I think is what we're talking about, I don't think any of those have missed so far. And even when you bring in the PlayStation E3 stuff and just the general PlayStation presentations, I think in terms of those big E3, big PlayStation Showcases, what, since, like, 2015-ish, like, I can't even remember before that, like, what those were. But when they started busting out the bigger PlayStation first party stuff, where you expect a Spider-Man or a Horizon or a God of War or even things like Final Fantasy VII Remake and games like that, Kingdom Hearts 3, they started hitting a stride to where I can't remember the last time one of those has missed necessarily.
I mean, I think the biggest miss of a core PlayStation showcase. The showcases have been PS5 on. Right. Mm-hmm. But then when you add the ones of, like, their E3 showcases back in the day, I'd say, yeah, since 2015 on, they have had major bangers. 2015 being the Shenmue and Last Guardian and Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then going on from that, we get the God of War announcements, the big things. I think that the lowest year was the year that they did the Last of Us 2 church.
Yeah, the church and, into Ghost Tsushima playing the
instrument. All of that. And even that, like, was
the
boundary.
The content, like, was there. Like, I think that was mainly just the formatting of it that was weird.
Exactly. And even then, like, I think that was the one that was kind of lacking in major announcements. But even then, if I remember correctly, that's where Resident Evil 2 Remake was, like, first reintroduced in the in-betweens of that stuff. So it's like, banger, 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 man. Like, this next week's going to be insane.
The one thing I'll disagree with you on is I think PlayStation Showcase for me has exceeded Nintendo Direct in terms of hype and announcement. And maybe this just speaks from audience to audience, but I think because PlayStation has separated out the core showcase from the State of Plays, with these last few showcases, you expect, oh, we're going to see the big guns. You're going to see everything. With Nintendo Direct, I am going into Nintendo Directs just praying that I'm going to see something from Nintendo. And, like, I think whenever we talk about it, we're just like, hey, man, like, we're excited, but also we're open to the idea of this, like, falling flat. We're open to the idea of this not having anything that exciting. With PlayStation Showcase, we are going into it with the idea that you're going to see some hype shit there.
So I think the difference there is, like, I don't necessarily agree with you at the core of the argument, but I think the difference is PlayStation Showcase is they only have that one brand for that big thing, whereas Nintendo Direct is the big thing or the State of Play. And so because of that, I think that that creates this kind of, like, it could be this, it could be that. But I think the hype is still there for every single Nintendo Direct because anyone could be the big one. And I think that, like, how you measure hype and compare it, I don't really know. But the way I'm talking about it is, how many forum threads are there about the potential of this thing happening and what could potentially go on there? I think Nintendo still owns a lock on that of, if there's even a thought, if someone even says the words in Nintendo Direct, that is a month of predictions and conversation about when's it gonna happen, what's gonna be there, all that.
PlayStation Showcase has been a year and a half of that.
Yeah,
that's my thing.
PlayStation Showcase, like, again, I'm arguing hype levels in terms of expectation of quality. I think PlayStation Showcase is in a total league of its own. It is, I expect it to be an absolute banger. I don't expect a Nintendo Direct to be an absolute banger. I really hope it can, and I know that it can be because they've done it many, many times, but they've also not.
Yeah, I feel that.
PlayStation Showcase is never not.
And then CW looked and really specified if we're talking about showcases, just showcases or games in general. But I think in terms of the games conversation, every now and then you'll have a miss. You know, like you had Days Gone back in 2019, and I think that fell short of people's expectations. I don't know if you count, like, how much do you count a Destruction All-Stars in games like that, where PlayStation technically, I believe, published that, if I remember correctly? You have some of those in there. But like in terms of the first-party stuff, I think there's been a really good consistency of quality, to where I think you're more likely than not for a PlayStation Studios thing to be really good, if not fucking fantastic. And so, yeah, I think even there they built a lot of consistency. But I wouldn't say that they've never missed. But they miss a lot less nowadays when it comes to the first-party stuff.
In a casual way of speaking, they never miss. But in like a factual way, yeah, they've had a couple.
Of course, everybody's going to have misses. Tim, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Let's see here. Dante the Clerk says, a technicality, but it wasn't Kung Lao. It wasn't the Kung Lao we know at the end of MK11 Aftermath. It was the great Kung Lao, ancestor and namesake of Slicey Hat Kung Lao, that Liu Kang goes to see. This was the previous champion of Earthrealm until he lost to Goro, the first loss in the ten needed to merge Outworld with Earthrealm. I think I knew that, but it's just there's a lot that goes on in that lore, so I might have not mentioned that.
I feel like Borzen's is the only.
Borzen 00 writes in and says, StarCraft is only getting balance patches. StarCraft is so low on priority lists right now that they canceled the StarCraft FPS, Ares, to focus on Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4. All right.
All right.
I appreciate that. We were talking, me and Greg were talking, I think it was last week maybe, about Mortal Kombat and how, cast as Johnny Cage. Mm-hmm. Him, the guy from The Boys.
Carl Urban
was cast, yeah. And
not official, right? It's still just a rumor, but...
Oh, yeah, I think that was a rumor. But Greg mentioned the idea of what if they use his likeness in the next Mortal Kombat game as Johnny Cage. And I recoiled at the idea. I didn't like it. So I'm glad that it seems like we're sticking with the likenesses that we got in the previous games. And I think Jean-Claude Van Damme, at least as an outfit, works even better. I like Jean-Claude Van Damme. I like that for Johnny Cage. Carl Urban... As much as I like the actor, I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I'm semi with you on that, but I don't know how I feel about you being like, yeah, but Jean-Claude Van Damme, Johnny Cage, that adds up. I don't know.
No?
I don't know.
Jean-Claude Van Damme? Barry, bring up a picture of Johnny. I'm just kidding. Don't bring up a picture of John. Hold on. I'm looking up Jean-Claude.
You gotta let me know if you're going to talk.
He's the muscles from Brussels, Barrett. He just doesn't fit
the mold. He's the muscles from Brussels, everybody.
But Johnny Cage is the muscles from Hollywood.
Right? But then that's a big difference.
The muscles from Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know? Tomorrow's hosts for Kind of Funny Games Daily are going to be Greg and Tim.
Hell yeah.
If you're watching this live, right after this, the boys are playing golf.
Golf.
Stay tuned. Have some fun. Hit the links, as they call it. Remember, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time. Game Daily.